It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And it doesn't sound like it, but Adam is actually quite a little ways away from the studio today, remoting in from, where, Miami, something like that?
Fort Lauderdale, but close enough.
Close enough, okay. Wedding time, soccer time, or did you roll them into one?
Actually, it's a very good friend of ours, daughter's bat mitzvah.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Well, that is worthwhile getting out and about, I think. But I'm glad you could make it.
It's also the social event of the century in South Florida.
I'm sure that's absolutely true.
It's going to be really over the top, and congratulations to her, of course.
Great, yes. Becoming a grown-up. Love it. Well, I'm exhausted. Haven't just spent a whole hour on the radio. That may sound funny. It was kind of funny, actually. Angela not in today, so she did the replay of the show I did with her. I thank her for that exposure, but kind of fun listening to yourself all the way in as you're driving.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that was happening today.
No, I didn't either. I maybe did, but I had forgotten. Anyway, here we are, live and well and ready to get at it. And I'd like to welcome everybody, as usual, all you regulars. You're the glue that keeps us all together, and we keep coming back for more of this. And we will, so long as y'all are out there and want to listen, and hopefully some of you want to talk. Lines are open, 904-222-8255, and we will put anybody who wants to call up front and talk about whatever they want to talk about. We've got lots to do. I got a stack of paper here you wouldn't believe today. And all kinds of things to talk about, good, bad, and indifferent. Lots of IRS stuff going on. And the fiscal year end is coming on September 30th. And I don't know how you run your businesses, but I'll bet anything that with 2 months to go in your fiscal year, you're probably not home politicking for 6 out of those 8 weeks. But that's only because you're so unfortunate you don't work for government. If you made a list of all the things that are left to do and how many days, they have something like 15 or 16 days when they come back to accomplish everything by the end of the fiscal year. It just, every year we go through this and I just shake my head and say, it just can't possibly be a necessity for them to spend all those weeks away with so much piling up to do. But I digress. Back to the market, your money, and what to do with it. It might as well have been September this week, the way the market acted. And then I looked, and it was September.
Yeah.
So it's doing a good job trying to live up to it.
It's almost like it wanted to live up to its reputation. And we mentioned that last week. And I think September may have thought it made a mistake by going up on the first day of the month, and they definitely rectified that this week. It was really decidedly negative. It was a Labor Day shortened week, too. We only had 4 days, which probably was a good thing.
It felt like 8.
Yeah, we did see a nice little rebound on Friday. It kind of saved the week. But overall, the markets were down. The Dow fell only 0.7%. The S&P was down 1.3%. The NASDAQ was off 1.9%. And for the quarter now, the NASDAQ is off, is down just 0.2%. And the other two indexes are up less than 0.5%. So we really can't get too upset. We're in a strong year as we sit today. So seeing a little bit of volatility in September, probably not the end of the world. And we warned you it was going to happen, and sure enough, it did. So I'm not too upset about this. It's just kind of the nature of the beast when you hit September every year. There's a number of reasons for the recent drop in stocks. One of them is the relative strength of the dollar, and the other is oil prices. There's probably more than that, but those were the two that everyone seemed to be pointing to this week. The strength of the dollar seems like it could be potentially a good thing, and honestly, it is. It's one of those things where there's good sides to it and bad sides to it. So it's kind of like higher interest rates. the problem is that it makes U.S. produced goods very expensive to other countries. So so when we go to export things and we have a strong dollar, there's going to be a lot less demand for those goods produced here. The price of oil rising, that's pretty obvious, just because we've been through this recently. That's leading to inflationary fears because oil is such a huge input into everything that's produced around the world. And seeing how strong oil has been recently is not going to be good for taming inflation. So we'll see what happens in that regard. That combination, though, had investors a bit skittish on the U.S. market this week. The good news is that seasonally, the price of oil usually declines around this time of year. And the strength of the dollar, that's something that will reverse in the future. It never climbs forever. So there'll be some kind of key event that causes that to reverse. And also, if you want to take a little bit of for a reference point, U.S. stocks were down, but we were kind of the best of the worst, I guess. The all world except the U.S. ETF was down about 1.8%. The Europe ETF was down about the same. It was nothing compared to Hong Kong, which was down 3.7%, and China was even worse, down 4.3% this week. It was just ugly out there. If you come back to the Americas, it's not getting any better. Brazil was down 2.7%, Canada down 2.7%, Mexico, which has been sort of the darling of investors this year, it was down 3.4%. Just an ugly week in markets across the world. There was one country that bucked the trend, though. India gained 1.8%. So that was the only one I could find with a little bit of good news. The only real strength this week was in commodities, and that index was up 0.7%. It was driven by the price of oil, unfortunately, which was up 1.8%. The bond market also fell. Yields continue to rise, and that's not really a great sign. AGG, the bond market ETF, it was off by 0.3%, and even short treasuries were down about 0.1%. So there wasn't a whole lot of positives really anywhere this week. It was rough. One interesting data point I noticed this week, Realtor.com published their latest housing inventory data through the month of August. It showed that inventory has actually dropped for the seventh month in a row and at their lowest level since last June. That's great news if you're a homeowner, really bad news if you're in the market to buy a house, because conditions like this lead to higher prices, not lower. So if you're worried about house prices falling, don't worry yet. One bit of good news for the buyers, though, inventories of houses for sale ticked up from historically low levels, which doesn't usually happen at this time of year. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, there's a lot going into that, a lot of considerations, and interest rates are right up there in the pack. It looks like they're going to remain high for a goodly amount of time yet, and maybe even get worse. You know, the big green head in Washington, D.C. decided he was going to help us all out by cutting out Anwar. More right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do, as usual, have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. I got to put a little politics on your money here for a minute. Over the last 70 years, if you had put $1,000 in the broad market and invested only when Democrats were in office, it would be worth $52,000 today. If you had invested only when Republicans were in office, it would be worth only $27,000 today. What if you didn't care? How much would $1,000 be worth today if you just left it alone and didn't play politics with your money? And the answer will surprise you, I'm sure. Wait, back to the market and such. The reactions of our fearless leaders, it just leaves me so cold all the time, as everybody knows. What did they come up with now? Well, you know what Anwar is. It's a vast wasteland in northern Alaska. There is nothing there but ice and underground oil. And it took until Trump got in there working with Congress to open it up for drilling. And that's a wonderful thing. That's part of our total energy independence, because we have so much of it, and we even have the pipeline built to get it here. Well, they, I don't know why. I do know why. It's because they're crazy. The Biden administration took those leases away this week. They were ordered by Congress, which means the Biden administration broke the law by canceling those leases. What will Republicans do about it when they get back to work next week? It remains to be seen. Somehow, I think you might hear a little bit of talk, but not much, and very low action. It's just so beyond my comprehension how these people can do so many things to the American people instead of for the American people. When you look at crude West Texas, it closed above 87, and now the Brent is above 90, and they're rising, and the Saudi Arabians and so on, who are always working against us, are keeping their production limited. And without cheaper oil, there is no way we're going to get less inflation, which means there's no way we're going to get lesser interest rates, and this whole thing could reverse itself. And that is just another symptom of the problem, because things like oil are not priced. They are priced in the spot market, what they are today. But the trend in prices is always looking forward into the futures market. That's going to be one more constraint on supply. And this whole thing, all the talk we've heard about getting the inflation rate down, it might be seriously impaired or, worst case, reversed. I think that's going to spook the market for a while yet. We shall see. Anyway, anything else you want to wrap up on this week's, week's market?
Yeah, two things.
Okay, shoot.
Two things that I want to talk about. One was the ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing reports, mm-hmm. which came out this week. One of them's in a solid uptrend, the other in a solid downtrend. Can you guess which was which?
Yeah, the opposite of what you think.
No, it's actually exactly what you would think. The manufacturing sector has now declined for 10 straight months.
Oh, that's right.
Where the services sector is at a six-month high. So that is there was a brief time when that reversed a while back. But at this point, everything's going into services. The manufacturing sector just looks pretty horrendous at this point.
Yeah,
and the strong dollar is not going to help.
That's
that
right.
That
dollar is going to really hurt. If you look at German manufacturing, it's tanked. It's not tanking.
Yeah.
It's tanked already. They are in deep doo-doo. France the same way. And that is going to be helped by the strong dollar rather than trying to keep it where it is. I don't know what it's going to take to revive the French and the Germans, because they're so bad off right now. But it's certainly not going to help our manufacturers, at least not the exporters. What this usually helps is the smaller stocks that don't depend a lot on exporting to other countries. So I'm just putting out a little something to think about. Watch for small caps to perhaps become let's say more desirable over the next few weeks and months.
It would be about time.
It certainly would. Yeah, it's easier to bring up something when it's on its back.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and this sort of is related to that, this is really interesting. The U.S. now accounts for just 15% of exports from China. That's the lowest level since that data has been tracked. And in the last year, imports from China to the U.S. are down 24.8%. That makes China just the third largest importer to the U.S. behind Canada and Mexico. A year ago, China was the largest.
Well, that all started under the Trump administration, and it exacerbated, of course, because of COVID. And now they're retaliating against Apple now. How about that? Because Apple's starting to move so much stuff out of there.
I saw that.
But who's happy? India.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, if you look at what Biden's doing right now, he went to India and then he's going to Vietnam. If this were someone who knew what it was doing, those would be excellent trips to take, because those places are going to pick up a lot of what we take out of China, and we better keep them as close as we can. Just something to think about.
For sure. Yeah, there's a lot of beneficiaries to China sort of adopting a very strange policy that I don't think any of us can figure out, but there will be winners because of that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
And mm-hmm. I'm moderately optimistic by some of it, but moderately. I just think they're, in general, they're so confused and goofed up that it's going to take another election to make the economy actually come to some of its senses, I guess. Yeah, just my feelings anyway. Oh, by the way, good news for everybody. San Francisco has not been totally ruined yet. It's going to take Nancy Pelosi 2 extra years to totally ruin it. Maybe you didn't hear she's running again.
Oh, I did not hear that, no. What is she, 107?
About that. I'm having trouble stopping my laughter. But what the heck? Okay, other topics. Anything that you want to bring up, Adam, or should we get into some of this stuff?
Go for it. Go for it.
All righty. How about we're going to bring more people into the overtime rules, more salaried people. This is what the administration wants to do now. They want to update the Fair Labor Standards Act so that more salaried people can get the overtime credits that are due when you don't qualify. In other words, if you go back in history, the salaried exempt people mean you get paid. It doesn't matter if you're on vacation or you work double shift or whatever. You get paid a salary, period. And if you do a good job, you might get a bonus or whatever. Well, they don't like that. The administration has already in a war against 1099 employees because they don't get enough benefits and so on. Well, now they're going to war with some of the salaried exempt people, making the employers pay the overtime for people that don't deserve it. And they don't deserve it under the Fair Labor Standards Act, which is the law of the land. So, of course, they're going to try to update the Fair Labor Standards Act. And more people will get overtime. It'll increase overhead for a lot of companies and, again, add to inflation. But am I surprised? I am not surprised. It's just so typical. They sit around and try to figure out what they can do to make employers less happy. Okay. Now, one for the actual people. 2022, LastPass, and a lot of people know who that is, it announced a security breach, and they have spent all the time since dribbling out information in bits and pieces that it's still getting bigger and worse for the people. And a lot of it now, for those of you who don't know, LastPass is one of those the password organizers. Is that what they call them, Adam?
Managers, password managers.
Managers, yeah. So it's a place that's encrypted, and you can keep all your stuff in there. So when you open LastPass, you get to log on to your things without having to go back and look up a big long password or having to memorize everything. It's very popular. There are lots of competitors, but it's very popular. Well, this one, it continues to get worse and worse, and they had been promising people that it was encrypted and none of the encrypted stuff was taken. Well, they just kind of walk that back a little bit. Now, we do have a call. It says beach, but I'm only a few seconds from break, and I'm hoping you can hold over, so please do. You can hear the music in the background. It'll barely be time to get it set up, but first thing after the break. Anyway, it was, if you have a crypto account and if you use LastPass, go on to LastPass and start changing things. You really, really need to take care of what it is you have on LastPass, because there's no telling for sure that even this one is the last time they're going to tell you that it got worse. So just something to think about, especially Ethereum accounts. I am not happy to say that I use it, but I'll be looking into that too. All right, got to take a quick break, then we'll get back and hit the phones. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And although Adam is out of town, it sounds just like he's sitting next to me. I don't know what you're on right now, but you got one of the great connections of all time. It's always fun.
Yeah, just sitting in a hotel on my iPhone, so that's
amazing.
Modern technology.
Yep, absolutely amazing. Okay, quick review. The trivia question, if you took $1,000 and put it in the broad market 70 years ago and only invested with Republicans in office, you'd have $27,000. If you only invested with Democrats, you'd have $52,000. But what if you didn't care and just left it there? All right, I'm sorry, I hit the wrong one. That was Adam. Good morning, Beach, it says.
Steve.
Yes.
Steve, it's Craig Beechler.
I figured maybe. Are you in Cincinnati?
I am, and I'm going to play you a little tribute to our favorite singer-songwriter.
Yay. Love it.
So I'm coming down from Cincinnati through our mobile technology in the great, great country of the United States.
It'll take you 3 days.
It will, by train. Yep. And I just want to pay a little tribute to JB, guess the question, talk about Apple a little bit, how it affected the Dow, and get your guys' take on it. So I use the rule of 72, and I guess mm-hmm. that like a 9% interest or a 9% growth rate annualized over the course of 70 years. So that's like, I think, 8 doubling frequencies. You know, you get the real power of exponential growth in the fourth or fifth cycle. So it comes out to 126,000, but I don't really exactly know what the growth rate was. So I'm going to guess just an even 130,000.
All right. Well, let me tell you what you're missing. I'm not going to tell you yet.
All right.
I'm going to tell you one thing. You're way low, and we can talk about why later.
Okay.
You won't believe it anyway. It's that low.
Simple back of the envelope, if you would, napkin and math, and I thought I'd guess. But I wanted to get Adam's take on talking about the Dow going down here a little bit this week in September. But, you know, Apple got kind of crushed this week with the Chinese government
talking
about not using their phones anymore. And I know they're huge, like a 3 or 2.8 billion cap, but I think they lost a couple hundred billion in the last few days. And how much does that affect the Dow?
Yeah, good question, Beach.
I don't know the exact number, but it's astronomical. Yeah, it's astronomical.
But yeah, they did go down a couple hundred million in market cap. He's exactly right about that. I saw that exact figure. A
couple hundred billion.
Just this morning.
Yeah, not million.
Yeah, billion. Yeah. I think I said M instead of B.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Obviously it was a huge drag on the Dow. It's probably an appropriate reaction because, well, the actual impact of government employees not using iPhones is probably minimal. It's the downstream effect of what the Chinese government could do if they chose to. I mean, they could ban iPhones from the entire country, which would be devastating to the company. So I think it was an overreaction to the actual event, but it makes sense in context, and that's how I read it anyway.
Sure. Yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's just maybe like a harbinger of what they could do if they chose to flex their communist muscle, if you would, and to ban it from the
They pushed it down several levels of government too. They're going smaller and smaller government entities, banning them, so they are trying to amass quite a big deficit in iPhone spending. And you know, they don't irritate these guys, right? That's been the rule
so
far.
I think they're launching next week at the end of the week, right? They're launching their 15 and with the new they have to comply to the what is it, the C charger. They're getting away from that fire cord or whatever they call it.
Yeah, the EU and the CCP are not totally different from each other. They're essentially dictating things like this. Now, if you want to keep doing business in Europe, now we've got to go through the change again. And maybe long run, it'll make things more convenient. I'm really not up on the different styles enough to let you know that for sure. But you know it's got to get done because the EU says, you know, just it won't work anymore. We can't buy them here because you can't charge them here.
And how are you guys doing with the loss of the great Jimmy Buffett from Pascagoula, Mississippi? I mean, talk about an entrepreneur, a guy that made something out of nothing, growing up the son of a couple shipmakers, the son of a few of them, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know about you guys, but that's been heart-crushing when I learned the news last Saturday morning a week ago. I was up in Montana with my girlfriend, and I woke up to several text messages, and I've been swirling around a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough on people of all ages. It wasn't supposed to be, you know. He's always supposed to be there. Got a new album coming out in November.
Okay. Yeah.
And from a cancer that's usually curable.
Right.
Apparently had some kind of variant of it that is way worse than normal, but. Man, what a great loss for the world. Just an incredible entrepreneur. I mean, he has built a brand that is worldwide out of enjoying himself. What I mean, the ultimate, that's every guy's dream, isn't it?
Yeah, one of his parents must have said, have fun at work.
Yeah, he was, as I remember, and you know, this is, Jimmy Buffett's probably the one subject matter I somehow feel competent enough to teach a college level course on, because I've read every book. I've read all the authors he talks about. Travis McGee's still in Cedar Key. Like I've read it. I love the guy. He coined and branded Parrothead, supposedly, you know, his one of his guitarists in Cincinnati in the 80s, because this has historically been such a conservative city with the big corporations like Procter & Gamble, Kroger. And they once a year these guys would get out of their gray and blue suits and throw on a coconut bra and a grass skirt and scoot on down to the Ohio River and shake them like you got them. And that escapism became such a cool brand. And man, it is a devastating loss. And I'm reeling, and I just want to talk to you guys about it. I remember we went to the show together with Steve and Sarah. Where was that? Was that in Orlando, Adam?
No,
I think that was in West Palm Beach.
Yeah,
Fort Lauderdale?
The outdoor one?
That's West Palm, yeah.
That was in West Palm. Yeah, we went to see him in Lauderdale at the Staples Center, too. That was quite a tailgate party, to say the least.
I would assume his net worth is in the B's, as in Beach and Bravo, right?
I think he was B for bona fide and B for billionaire. Yeah. You know, he had an opera and 50 albums, and it's just unfathomable. And there's a lesson in there, too, somewhere. He was a real honest-to-goodness workaholic.
No question. No doubt. He first picked up the guitar, I think, in 19 as a Kappa Sig at Mississippi State.
No kidding.
You know, good fraternity boy. He saw an older fraternity brother of his playing guitar with a gaggle of women around him. He said, whoa, I want to be that guy. He started picking at that sixth string, and he was already in school for being a writer, which he is a prolific writer. I think he's a poet laureate of our time. The way he can put the pen to paper and weave a narrative and a story about something he's seen or experienced, because 90% of the stuff he writes about is true.
Yeah, they gave that poetry Nobel, I guess it was, to Mr. Zimmerman, who we probably knew better as Bob Dylan, and I thought that was well deserved. But who's next? Well, there's only one great candidate to me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, that's all I got, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
So are you actually coming to town?
I will be there. I'll be there the first week in December to watch the great Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase take on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Very good.
It'll be a good one.
Yeah. You saw what happened on the opening game of the season. Does this mean it's going to be a weird season? Who knows?
The NFL seems to be completely unpredictable. So, obviously, we have high hopes on number 9 here in Cincinnati, who just got the largest contract in NFL history at about $55 million guaranteed a year.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I think his guarantee is maybe a shade over or under what the guy in Cleveland who he's playing tomorrow. I can't think of that quarterback from Houston. I'm asking Adam for some help here.
Yeah. He's from Clemson. Got in all the legal trouble. And I can't.
A lot of massages.
Yeah.
A lot of massages. I don't know how the Browns end up giving him such a huge contract a year and a half ago with all that legal trouble, but the Browns seem to make a lot of poor decisions. So
desperate times call for desperate measures.
As we refer to Cleveland down here in the southern end of the state, the mistake by the lake.
Yeah. What can you say?
Yeah, I'm excited. And I'll be down there in roughly 2 months or so and hanging out with you guys. And the entrepreneurship of Jimmy Buffett between Margaritaville, between Landshark Lager, turning escapism into a business, just absolutely remarkable work ethic. And he is very missed. And if they ever did anything public, if they have any type of funeral, let me know. I'll come down.
Well, if you're here in December and your trip includes a Saturday morning, come in and reoccupy your old chair.
Yeah, I would love to. I appreciate the offer.
Yeah, in fact, if we get that, if that becomes fairly definite, we'll reach out to the same people, the entrepreneurs, and talk a little bit about your actual hard work and angel investing and that kind of thing.
That sounds great.
Got a great reaction last time, so why not? Well, we appreciate the call.
Guys.
Thanks so much. Good to hear from you.
All right, fins up, boys. Fins up.
All right, you got it. There are fans everywhere. Oh, I think, Adam, I just cut you off. You may have to dial in again over the break. But we will take a short break, pay some bills, and be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we still have that trivia question open. If you invested $1,000 over 70 years in the broad market, under a Republican, you'd have $27,000, and under Democrats, you would have $52,000, but under the whole market, the whole time frame, it's much, much better. We know that $130,000 is way too light. Okay, Adam, that was fun talking to Craig, and I bet a lot of people listening today were listening last time he was here in the studio with us. He's an interesting guy. He's really, really fun guy, but he's a very serious, dedicated. Is angel investor what I'm looking for, Adam?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, basically an angel investor. He looks for companies that are very small and need capital funding and have the chance to grow into something much, much larger. And not only give them money, but a lot of times he'll give some, they'll look to him for some advice because he has experience in this area. And he's been really dedicated to that. Over the last, I would say, 10, 15 years, he has another job, but this is his true passion. It's really interesting because he's looking at things that you would never even know existed unless you were in that community and actively seeking out these opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And last time he was down here, we got talking about it, and it stimulated some very interesting conversations. You know that old joke that goes, an entrepreneur walked into a bank. Oh, wait, no, that doesn't happen because why bother? They just hold the back door for you, and you could walk straight through and leave. There is no way, and this was during far better times than what we're talking about today for banking. There is no way on God's green earth that a young entrepreneur or anybody who's trying to do a startup is going to get a bank loan. So nature abhors the vacuum, and this vacuum has been filled by people like Craig who have taken several people with good ideas and helped them launch into things that will benefit society and themselves and hopefully Craig on the way out of that. So stay tuned over the next few weeks, and if he does commit to this thing, we'll be forecasting that, broadcasting that many weeks in advance because I know there's some people out there that are trying to do that. Jacksonville actually is a very interesting place for technology and in entrepreneurism and so on, and there's got to be a lot of people out there who could at least get some questions answered. So
definitely that. Yeah, I do hope he comes on when he's down here. Mm-hmm. We are planning to go to the Monday Night Football game, the Cincinnati Jacksonville game together. So that would be a great great way to cap off the weekend. If he could do the show as well. So I don't know what his flight plans are yet, but hopefully that works out.
Yep, we'll let you know when it's getting closer. Okay, this would be a good time of year, being, you know, getting close enough to the year end that you can see it now. Let's talk about taking control of your retirement savings and, frankly, other savings too. There's a lot you can do, and there's a lot that needs to be done for a lot of people. About 20% of what you can imagine to be an incredible amount of money is in 401k accounts that belong to ex-employees. And when I say 401k, you can also think 403b and 457, all that. But I've used 401k because that's what most people have and most people talk about. The government has established an agency or registry, they call it. And for once, I'm not upset about it. How about that? It's called the National Registry of Unclaimed Retirement Benefits, and the website is unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. What this is a free clearinghouse where if you go in and search by your name or the company or whatever, if you have some old, lost or forgotten 401k accounts or so on, this is a free way to actually find it, get back in contact, so that you can try to take control of that. In the old rules, if you leave a company and your account balance is under $5,000, they would just send you a check and close the account. Well, that is a very wasteful way to do things, because not only will you probably spend the balance, but you will also be taxed on that balance this year. So it's kind of a double whammy. You don't have to do that. Even if they still send you your under $5,000 balance, you can still do a rollover into a tax-deferred IRA as long as you do it timely, and that means under 60 days. So if you get one of those and you don't know what you're doing, call the show or call us or get some help on it, and you can start this. Can you imagine if you're, say, in your 20s, and you take a job? Well, nowadays, the average person is going to go through how many jobs in this adult lifetime, Adam? Have you read that recently?
Not recently, but I believe it's like 7, 9, something.
Yeah,
it's
that really the number high. I was coming up with was right in that range, too. So you're probably going to have these occasions where you've been contributing to a 401k, 403b, whatever, and you move. Well, there are several things you can do with it. One of them should not be leave it alone. Adam, do you know what the average account size is for those lost and forgotten 401ks?
I don't. Do you have that information?
I do. And you're not going to like what I'm about to tell you. It's $55,000.
That's the average? That's incredible.
That's the average of lost and forgotten old 401ks. What do you suppose difference it would make to your future if you took control of that and got it invested the right way? It's just mind-boggling.
Misplacing $55,000. That seems like a pretty big mistake.
It does. You've got to care. People, you've really got to care. But that's not the only forgotten money, and we alluded to this a couple weeks ago, I think. There's some other things sitting out there, like CDs. Many people for a long time were CD investors, and they would do what we call laddering, so some would be shorter and some would be longer. And that worked out very well for a lot of older people who were not really risk takers anymore, until something happened, and that something was virtually zero interest rates. So no matter what amount of time you would take, you weren't going to get very much on them. So another thing, Americans being kind of on autopilot, a lot of those things got rolled over automatically. So there are still 3, 4, 5 year CDs out there that are paying almost nothing. But the market has shifted in the last couple of years. And when I say shifted, I mean shifted big time. Now, if you're waiting for those 1% or below CDs to roll over, you have an opportunity cost that is costing you on a daily basis a lot. Think about this. A five-year $10,000 1% yield CD. In 3 months, the penalty, if you have a three-month penalty, that penalty would amount to a whopping $25. However, if you change, it will earn more than that. Those 3 months would pay about $115. So there is absolutely no excuse now if you've got a CD that is back in the low, low, low ones or anything in that range. There's no excuse for not going in, pay the penalty, and get a new one at the new rate, and you are going to be amazed how much money you will receive on a monthly basis. Adam and I have said many times on the show and in the office, we earn more money in interest now in a month than we did in a year just a couple of years ago. Don't let those things sit there. There's no cost for you to do it except the three-month penalty, and you will make that three-month penalty back in something right around 3 months, or excuse me, 3 weeks to get it back. And your fourth week, you're making money, and for the other 48 weeks of the year, you're making a lot more money. Don't just let it sit around. You're helping banks. And I don't think I have to clarify my feelings on that at all. Now, with the with the inverted yield curve that we have in there now, you got to go shopping and see what you can find. We got a phone call, but I'll just tell you, shop the rate, in not the time, the rate. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning. It was nice to hear Beach on the phone. I hopped in the car and flipped the radio on, and I've talked to him a few times in the past.
Uh-huh.
He's a great guy.
We were thinking about you because I remember very well when you called when he was on.
Yeah, he gave a very good advice when I called in the first time, and he had recommended a book called Venture Deals.
Uh-huh.
And I went out and bought it. And went through it in fine-tooth comb. It's a great book. It's easy to read and very sage advice. But I wanted to ask you a really quick question. He had mentioned the Dow when discussing Apple.
Yeah.
But and I know that for every, I think, $1 loss in stock price on Apple, it's about $16 billion in market cap. But, and I guess since the 52-week high, that's been roughly about $22, so about $3.52. But that's on NASDAQ, not Dow.
Yeah, but it has an outsized influence on the major indices because whether it's cap-weighted or price-weighted, both of those have been pretty high, and they do have an extreme amount of pressure on the performance of the index itself, too. But you're right, the company itself is losing a lot of value. By the way, just before we go, while you're still on, because I've only got a few seconds, you would have $1.43 million if you got rid of your politics in that time. How's that?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the question.
Yeah. We don't have any time to take one, so I blurted it out. Yeah, we'll keep listening. We'll let you know if he's coming back. We got to run. There's only about 5 seconds. Thanks for the call. See you next week. This is the Family Financial Hour. Thank you.